In the final module, we discuss treatment after disease progression on CDKIs, mechanisms of resistance, and novel strategies, including combination approaches that are being pursued in ongoing clinical trials. In terms of second-line treatment, for a 60-year-old woman with metastatic disease progressing on palbociclib letrozole, the faculty was split between fulvestrant alone or with everolimus or everolimus exemestane, but the respondents favored fulvestrant alone. For a patient with a prior adjuvant AI and fulvestrant palbociclib, the clear choice of the faculty and respondents for the next systemic therapy was exemestane everolimus. All but one of the faculty would not continue a CDKI beyond disease progression outside a clinical trial, but about half of the respondents have or would use this strategy that has yet to be proven to be beneficial. The plethora of approaches to the management of triple-positive, i.e. ERPR HER2-positive disease, is of great interest. Almost half of the respondents, but only one of the faculty, would consider taking the approach used in the so-called PERTAIN trial and combining anti-HER therapy with endocrine treatment, with the others using the CLEOPATRA trial approach of chemotherapy and anti-HER therapy followed by maintenance. But both the faculty and respondents were split in terms of using maintenance with just anti-HER therapy or combined with endocrine therapy. In general, the faculty and respondents are split about whether to use a CDKI outside a clinical trial and outside clinical indications right now in a patient with HER2-positive disease. Dr. O'Regan then reviewed a number of related data sets.
As far as what to do with patients who progress on CDK inhibitors, we don't have any clinical data right now. And interestingly, some of the preclinical data does suggest cross-resistance between the different CDK inhibitors. So that, of course, is preclinical data. But as far as trials that are ongoing, there's really two trials that are addressing this right now. The MAINTAIN trial, which is a randomized phase 2 trial in patients who've had prior CDK inhibitors, in which patients are randomized to fulvestrant with ribociclib or fulvestrant plus placebo, randomized phase 2, so it's 132 patients, accruing pretty well at this point. It's a multi-site study, and the primary endpoint is progression-free survival, 24 weeks. And then the other study is a PACE study with palbociclib. We'll talk about it in a second. It has a slightly different design, but again, a randomized phase 2, randomized 220 patients between fulvestrant or fulvestrant plus palbociclib. Now, as far as the PI3 kinase pathway and CDK resistance, this is another study that looked at generating CDK inhibitor-resistant lines. The consistent thing was this overexpression of PDK1, which is actually part of the PI3 kinase pathway. So it's in between PI3 kinase and mTOR. And then as far as triplets in the post-progression, Trinity, it's a phase 1-2 study looking at ribociclib with everolimus and exemestane. The endpoint of the phase 1 is maximum tolerated dose, and then the endpoint of the phase 2 is clinical benefit rate. So that will show us if, as we predict from the preclinical models, the PI3 kinase pathway is active, that adding in everolimus to block mTOR may be beneficial in these patients. And then lastly, what about immunotherapies? Well, this is data from Monarch HER, where patients with ER-positive, HER2-negative breast cancer had a core biopsy at baseline, then got randomized to receive either single-agent anastrozole, single-agent abemaciclib, or the combination of abemaciclib plus anastrozole. They then had a core biopsy after 2 weeks and then went on to get definitive treatment with abemaciclib and anastrozole and had another core biopsy at 14 weeks and then surgery, which was optional. The primary endpoint of the study was complete cell cycle arrest, which was defined as a Ki-67 of less than 2.5%. Looking at the response, it was much higher when patients got abemaciclib, either as a single agent or with anastrozole, compared to the patients who got anastrozole alone. But what was interesting, if you look at the core biopsy that was done at the end of treatment, what you begin to see is this infiltration of T cells, so increased T cell infiltration, suggesting that using the CDK inhibitor may be making these ER-positive cells more immunogenic. So this has been addressed in the post-progression setting as well in the PACE study, which we talked about earlier, again, phase 2 study. But the third arm of this is fulvestrant palbociclib and avelumab versus fulvestrant palbociclib or fulvestrant. So that should produce some interesting results as well. They're all basically looking in slightly higher risk patients with ER positive early stage breast cancer, looking at the addition of CDK inhibitors to standard adjuvant endocrine therapy. So you can see with palbociclib, ribociclib, and abemaciclib. So these trials are all ongoing. So I think just to summarize, there's minimal definitive data on resistance mechanisms, either in the de novo or acquired resistance setting. So really the only biomarker we have right now is estrogen receptor. Preclinical data do suggest possible cross-resistance between the CDK inhibitors. So off a clinical trial, it's not really recommended to either change the CDK inhibitor or continue the CDK inhibitor. But I will say this has been done in practice, so it may be possible to obtain some data on efficacy and safety of this being done. There's a number of clinical trials addressing this. Preclinical and clinical data do support a role for PI3 kinase mTOR in CDK inhibitor resistance, and some trials are evaluating that. And then this exciting data showing that the CDK inhibitors used with endocrine therapy can induce immune infiltrates, which potentially may provide a rationale for evaluating them with checkpoint inhibitors.